to those high holy days that are coming up very, very soon. But Lord, we don't have to wait to the fall months to get our hearts right with you. You desire, since you dwell in our bodies, which you say is the holy of holies, for we are called the temples of the Most High God. And if we allow sin to remain, we are not people after your own heart. And the sanctuary where you dwell within our hearts is unclean. So we ask, Father, that you continue to cause us to be sensitive when the Spirit of the living God speaks to us as individuals, that we would hear his still small voice, and we will not argue, but we will simply obey and say, yes, Lord, I desire to be a man, a woman, or a child after your own heart, and I recognize this sin. Open up our eyes that we may be able to see it clearly, and give us understanding that we would show true fruits of repentance in all the things that you call us to. To your name be all praise and glory and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen. Praise the Lord. This is a third in the series that's called The Carnal Nature. So the Lord wants us to deal with just a portion of what was going on in David's life. We're not going to cover, because you know what? The second person most spoken about other than Yeshua and Moshe in the scriptures, it's David. If you study, there's much about David. You know what? There's something really beautiful about David that we can all identify with. What was David in and of himself? He was nothing. He was just a simple shepherd boy, and he was the least of all his brothers. Turn with me now to the book of Samuel, chapter 16. And as you're searching that out, I'll share a little bit more commentary on the life of David. Like I said, I would not have time enough to go through his whole life today. Otherwise, we could be here till what, 8 or 9 p.m. tonight? But we cannot do that today because we have another fellowship that's going to be doing an outreach today where they're inviting people to participate. And please join them. But there are times, you know, when we can't join our brothers and sisters. I got a call this morning. My wife reminded me I have to help my father-in-law take an old water heater out of his basement, and also that their kitchen sink drain has been plugged. And so that's what I'll be doing after I'm done cleaning here after the service. So there's times that we need to be instant in season and out of season, right? And help our family members in everything that we do. And so like I was saying earlier, David was just a man. There was nothing special about him. The most important thing that David had was his relationship with Yeshua. So let us begin in Samuel. 1 Samuel, or Shumiel Aleph in the Hebrew, chapter 16 and verse 1. And Adonai said to Shumiel, Samuel, how much longer are you going to go on grieving for Saul? Now that I've rejected him as king over all Israel, fill your horn with oil and set out, and I'll send you to Yeshai, that is Jesse, to Beit Lachmin, Bethlehem, because I've chosen myself a king among his sons. Shumiel, Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will have me killed. Adonai, the Lord said, take a female cow with you, and say, I have come to sacrifice to Adonai. Summon Yeshai, Jesse, to the sacrifice, and I will tell you what to do. And you are to anoint for me the person I point out to you. Shumiel, Samuel, did what Adonai said and arrived at Bethlehem. The leaders of the city came trembling to meet him and asked, are you coming in peace? He answered, in peace, I've come here to offer a sacrifice. He then came and he said that I will now consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he consecrated Yeshai, Jesse, and his sons and summoned them to the sacrifice. When they had come, he looked at Eliab and said, this was the oldest one, this has to be Adonai's anointed one here before me. But Adonai said to Shumiel, Samuel, don't pay attention to how he looks or how tall he is, because I have rejected him. Adonai doesn't see the way humans see. Humans look at the outward appearance, but Adonai looks at the heart. Then Yishai, Jesse, called Abinadab and presented him to Shumiel. But, he said, Adonai hasn't chosen this one either. Yishai presented Shammah. Again, Shumiel said, Adonai hasn't chosen this one either. Yishai presented seven of his sons to Shumiel, Samuel. But Shumiel, Samuel told Yishai, Jesse, Adonai has not chosen these. It appears Jesse's out of sons. No, let's continue. Are all your sons here? Shumiel, Samuel asked Yishai, Jesse. He replied, there is still the youngest. He's out tending the sheep. Shumiel said to Yishai, Jesse, send and bring him back, because we will not sit down and eat until he gets here. The one forgotten, the one discarded, is the one that the Lord desires. Let's continue. He sent and brought him in with ruddy cheeks and red hair and bright eyes. He was a good-looking fellow. Adonai said, stand up and anoint him. He is the one. The one that his father Jesse didn't even think about. The one that was discarded. The one of least value in his earthly father's eyes. But Abba Father saw who this man was to be. And he knew, because he formed him in his mother's womb. He formed his heart. He knew what bent he would have. He knew that he would have times of rebellion, but also times of repentance and times of grace. This one was pliable. Abba Father was looking into his heart, his soul, and his spirit. Isn't it amazing? The Lord knows the plans that he has for us. He's laid out all our days even before we're born. He knows us. He shaped us in our mother's womb. He knows both our beginning and end. And he knows, just as he knew Jacob was a supplanter, Yaakov, and Esau, his brother, did not have a heart after God. He knew them even before they were born, just as he knows our ways. There have been many, many men and women of God who walked with the Lord for a period of time in their lives, and then something came across their path and they turned their backs on the Lord. Scripture is repeated time and time again of this happening. It's happening even today, and it will also happen in the future. That's why it's so important for us to allow the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts and our minds, to reveal the truth that is in our hearts. Because God, who desires to save all, desires us to come to the point of repenting and showing true fruits of repentance. But you know what he has to deal with? Our free will. And so today we're going to be seeing the free will of not only David, but also of Saul. And then it goes on to say here, Shumiel took the horn of oil and anointed him there in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the spirit of Adonai would fall upon David with power. So Shumiel set out and went to Ramah. You know, there are times when we read the scripture and we don't fully understand. Samuel had to do this. He had to present him before his father, Jesse, and to tell him, no, this isn't the disregarded one. This is not the worthless black sheep of the family. This is the one that God has anointed. And not only was he to be set before his father, but for all his brothers too, that were not chosen. This sounds like a familiar story, doesn't it? Remember Joseph? He was the least of his brothers, although the Lord chose him. It's great to see when God chooses people. He chooses people that you and I would never pick. You know what? And in that life, if you consider yourself as nothing before the Lord, God can mightily use you. Because then only his power and glory is being revealed. And to him is all praise and glory and honor. Amen. The story of David, starting in chapter 16, is a story of a man after Abba, Father, God's own heart. There are tremendous lessons on the accounts of David, his rejection, his exile. He was chosen from 8 sons of Jesse. The 7th eldest son passed before Samuel. Each one looked like the king in the making until Abba, Father, God said to Samuel, "Stand up and anoint him, David. He's the one." And the last of them and the least of them, David, Abba, Father, God has put his seal upon him. Do you know that you've been sealed by the very hand of God? You are precious in his sight. And you know, you may have been raised up by parents that thought, oh, this son or this daughter is worthless. You are precious in the eyes of your Father, your Heavenly Father. And he desires to do all that he can in and through us, that all the plans that he's laid out for us, that we would fulfill if we would simply bend our will to him and repent of our sins. His choice was not according to the outward appearance. Abba, Father, God looked instead into the heart of David. David was not set on the throne immediately as Saul was. But what David went through was times of adversity and times of testing. God puts us through this. This is the principle that Abba, Father, God often follows with a man or woman who learns to walk by faith. Not by our intellect, not what we've seen others do before us before, but we're to be people who walk by faith, and faith alone. Because that's what only pleases the Lord. Not faith in our abilities, not faith in our education or our background, but putting all faith and trust in him. Like Paul said, I put everything I am in myself, I can consider as dung. All the things of the past. I want to walk new in Messiah Yeshua. That was his heart's desire. Everything seems to go against David until at last he recognizes a great principle by which Abba Father, God's activity, is always being carried on. Man can do nothing in himself. Only he is complete and total dependence upon God who lives within us. Sometimes we think that God is far away. He dwells within you. You are the temple of the Most High God. The Holy of Holies of God dwells within you. Because that's where God dwells. Think of that. When you're separate from your brothers and sisters, and the enemy comes against you and accuses you of all these different things, remember this. You are the Holy of Holies of the Lord. Let's continue. This is what David even learned even as a shepherd boy, so that he could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." Was that just something that the Holy Spirit downloaded into him? No, that was something that he experienced through adversity, trial, and test. Saul persecuted David and hunted him like a bird for many, many years. It was through that that David wrote these Psalms. He got to know that God was his provision in everything. Let us continue. We come to the testing of David as one comes face to face with a giant, Goliath. This is found in Samuel chapter 17, 26. Just think, he's just been anointed as king, and a few months pass, and this is what is now taking place. Israel was held in fear by this giant, Goliath, who marched up and down between the armies, taunting and mocking them, the weakness of the army of Israel. No one dared do a thing about him. He strutted in arrogant pride up and down, beating his chest and demanding that they send someone out to fight him. But no one dared to go. When little David came from his flocks of sheep to bring food to his brothers, he found the whole camp of Israel in fear and despair. And he came in and he asked, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine anyway, that he challenges the armies of the living God?" That was David's perspective. He couldn't understand this. Had we not, our forefathers, defeated giants in the past? Why are you afraid of this giant right now? We are more than overcomers. This is always the outlook of faith. It is never shaken by the circumstances. Have you ever been there? When your brothers and sisters have turned against you, and there's no way to turn, and your emotions are going absolutely nuts, and you're at the very edge of going completely insane. I've been there. I confess it. It's that point there that we reach out to the Lord and know that He's our provision in everything that we do. Let's continue. Saul asked, that's what his name means, Saul. His name meant asked or desired of the Lord. It's told that this young man who has just arrived, Saul asked David what he wants to do. David says, "I will go out and fight him." Are you kidding me? This is just a young man. And you know, looking from outward appearances, what does it say about Saul? He was head and shoulders over all the men of Israel. He was the literal giant in Israel. He was Israel's champion. He was the king. So why didn't that man of faith walk down that hill and take on Goliath? Let's continue. David says, "I will go out and fight him." Saul, thinking to help him, puts his armor on David. And Saul was about 1.5 feet taller than David. David began to walk in Saul's armor, and it made it very, very difficult to move. Have you ever done that? Gone into your dad's room, and then all of a sudden you grab his dress pants, you're about 9, 10 years old, and you put them on, and it comes up to here on you, and you put the belt on, you put on the coat, and the coat's dragging on the floor, and you're walking to and fro. Well, that's what was happening with David putting on Saul's armor here. "This will not work." So David said, and he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he picked up 5 smooth stones from the riverbed. You may ask, why 5? Well, if you read in Shumiel Bet, 2 Samuel, it records that Goliath had 5 brothers. David was not just going to take down Goliath. He was going to kill that whole family. He heard of Caleb. You know what Caleb did? He was assigned a mountain of giants. He was in his 80s. He was sojourning in the wilderness an additional 40 years there. And when he was 80 years old, he came and he said, "I want that mountain of giants." See, that's where we get our faith, from men and women of faith. Let's continue. So then, putting them in his shepherd bag, his pouch, then with his sling in hand, he approached the Philistine with his hidden weapons of mass destruction. Stones. Stones in the hands of a man of faith are mighty weapons of mass destruction. Because what would have happened here? See, Goliath had said this: "Bring out your champion. If I fight him, okay, and I defeat him, then you become our slaves." 350 years earlier, what happened? God sent Moses to deliver the people from what? From slavery. And so it would appear that this giant of a man, Saul, who was 1.5 feet taller than everyone else, would be the one to go up against this giant. Was he not God's king? Was he not God's anointed? Wasn't he to lead the people in all righteousness? Let's continue. Now let's hear the warrior's speeches. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 42. First, the Philistine, Goliath, speaks. The Philistine looked David up and down and had nothing but scorn for what he saw, a boy with ruddy cheeks, red hair, and good looks. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog? That is why you are coming to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. He cursed him. See, this was a spiritual war and a physical war. This was a nation that was going to rise up from God, proclaiming their God is the one true God. There was a battle going on here. The Philistine said to David, "Come here to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals." David's speech is a speech of spiritual faith. David answered the Philistine, "You are coming at me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, things of the flesh, things of war." David was not an experienced man of war. But if you read closely in the scriptures, you'll see that he took out both a bear and a lion by his weapons of mass destruction, his stones and his sling. "But I'm coming to you in the name of Adonai Zavaot, the Lord of the host of the armies of the God of Israel, whom you have challenged. Today Adonai will hand you over to me, and I will attack you and cut off your head." At this point, I think Goliath is sitting there and he's starting to laugh. Are you kidding me? He's looking down at this small young man who come out before him with no armor. Who was his shield? Adonai. Let's continue. "And I'll give your carcass of the army of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the animals in the land." Not only is he going to take out the champion, but then he's going to pursue all those of the armies of the uncircumcised Philistines. "Then all the land will know that there is a God in Israel, and everyone assembled here will know that Adonai does not say by sword or by spear. For this is Adonai's battle, and he will hand you over to us." You know, every battle that you and I face, every temptation that the enemy brings up against us, is a battle for the Lord. Are you allowing him to gain the victory? Are you allow him to give you his battle plan, that he may receive all glory and honor? Or are you trying to do it in and of your own self? "When the Philistine got up and approached and came close to meet David, David hurried and ran toward the enemy to meet the Philistine." Are you kidding me? Why wasn't he crouching behind a rock and then started to sling his sling and then rise up and then act as a sniper? No, he believed that the Lord was with him. "David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and hurled it with his sling. It struck the Philistine in the forehead and buried itself in his forehead so that he fell face down on the ground. And thus David defeated the Philistine with a sling and a stone, striking the Philistine and killing him. But David had no sword in his hand." So what did he do? He took Goliath's sword. And I know in the scripture it does not tell us how much that weighs, but it says that the head of his spear weighed 20 pounds. Goliath did. How much do you think his sword weighed? Absolutely. Anyone here ever throw the shot put in high school or college? That's a heavy stone, is it not? But can you imagine throwing a spear with a head that's weighing 20 pounds? As a boy, I could probably barely lift that. Just a spearhead. Imagine the length of the spear, and then take that and throw it? Are you kidding me? Probably David grabbed that sword, put it on its tip like this, and went down like this to cut the head off the giant. What a glorious picture this of him who went against a great enemy of mankind face to face and killed him with his own sword. He disarmed him. He killed him. Messianic Jews, Hebrews 2:14 through 15 declares, "Therefore, since the children share a common physical nature as human beings, he became like them and shared the same human nature, so that by his death, Adonai Yeshua, our Messiah, rendered ineffective the one, Hasatan the devil, who had power over death, and thus set those free who had been bondage all their lives because of the fear of death." We have no more fear of death. For when we die, we shall arise into new life in Messiah. Here is the type David was of Messiah Yeshua. David is also our example of all believers who allow Messiah Yeshua to live his life in and through them. Have you ever come to that point in your life where the Lord says, "Now choose who you want to live within you"? Will it be Messiah, Yeshua? Will you live your life unto yourself? Let's continue. After this victory for Adonai, Saul was filled with great jealousy and resentment of David, starting in chapter 18. On the story of growing of the persecution of David by Saul is a living illustration of the truth that Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, declares in his book of Galatians 4:29. "But just as the one born according to the carnal flesh persecutes the one born through the Spirit's supernatural power, so as it is now." Nothing's changed. "And when my spirit man is wrestling with my carnal man within my being, there's war going on. And you know what? I have to decide for the free will that my spirit man would arise and put my carnal nature man to death." Galatians 5:16 through 18 says, "What I am saying is this, run your lives led by the Spirit. Then you will not do what your old carnal nature wants. For the old carnal nature wants what is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit wants is what contrary to the old carnal nature. These oppose each other, so that you find yourselves unable to carry out your good intentions. But if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not to be in subjection to the system that results from perverting the Torah into legalism." Hear that? Those of my brothers and sisters who have been newly introduced of the ways of the Torah and the Jewish roots of the faith, be led by the Spirit of the living God. Otherwise, you will fall in the same way that my family has walked in, turning Torah into legalism and not honoring God with your lives. Saul persecuted David and tried to kill him. It was during this time that David wrote many of the Psalms, these wonderful songs that speak of Abba, Father God's faithfulness in the middle of troubling circumstances. David was pursued and finally exiled from the presence of Saul's kingdom. Did you hear that? It became Saul's kingdom, not Abba Father's kingdom. There have been times in my life where it's become Frank's kingdom and not Abba Father's kingdom. When my carnal nature rules and reigns upon the throne of my life, it becomes Frank's kingdom and not Abba Father's kingdom. As we read in chapters 21 and 22, we see the fullness of Abba Father God's unending provision created for David, even in his exile. David is given the holy showbread of the tabernacle. Wait a second. That was only for the Levites. Was David from the house of Levi? No. What house and tribe was he from? The tribe of Judah. This bread is the representing presence of God. What did Yeshua say? "I am the bread of life." What do we participate in today? The bread of life. It is a picture that the secret ministering to everyone who is facing severe problems, but focusing on Abba Father God for deliverance. These ones Abba Father gives his hidden manna, the hidden bread, the bread from the very table of Adonai himself. You know, the Mishkan is just a copy of what Moshe saw, the Abba Father, through Yeshua, revealed to him. He said, make a copy of this. And there's showbread up in heaven. Let's continue. John, Yohanan, chapter 6, 35. Yeshua answered, I am the bread of life, which is life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever trusts in me will never be thirsty. John 6, 57. Yeshua here is sharing, just as the living Abba Father has sent me, and I live through Abba Father, so also whoever eats me will live through me. So what did we do today? We participated in the memorial service of Adonai, our God, by participating in both his body and his blood. And so what we're now declaring, that we are going to live and allow Yeshua to live in and through us. Now going on, during his exile, David, whose name means beloved of God, the king had a prophet. His name was Gad. You know what his name means in Hebrew? Fortune. How would you like your buddy named Fortune, who's a prophet? Going on. And a Kohen, a priest, his name was Abathar. His name means father of abundance. Wait a second. David's in exile. He's being persecuted. And these are his two friends, Fortune and father of abundance. These are the soul. Abathar was the sole survivor when Saul massacred his father and 84 other Kohen priests when he heard that they gave David the showbread, that he could go on living. These are some of the resources and people that were available to David, even though he was hunted like a bird on the mountains. When we come to the end of ourselves, it is trying to fix our problems and is by our own strength. We must now turn to Yeshua, who is our prophet, who is our Kohen high priest, and also our Malachim, our king. Yeshua is Abba, Father, God's open door for us through all our troubles. He's the answer. Peace in the Middle East? If every man, woman, and child would fall on their face, not before Allah, but would declare Yeshua as their Messiah, then there would be peace in the Middle East. This is what David chose to do. He refused to act for himself. Two times he spared Saul as Abba, Father, God delivered him into his hand. Once he was in a cave, and there was Saul's spear placed in the ground right next to his head. And his men said to him, simply just grab the spear and just thrust it through his head. And then you'll be now the new king of Israel. He said, no, I will not touch God's anointed. I will not harm him. This is the marks of the true spiritual maturity of faith. He waited for Abba, Father, God, to work out the problems. When you're offended by a brother and sister, when they do or say something against you, turn that situation over to Abba, Father, and he will sort out through all those problems, that there may be reconciliation with you and your brothers and sisters in Messiah. As the history of 1 Samuel ends, we witness the end of a man of carnal flesh, Saul. He reaches his lowest point when he embraces witchcraft to determine the mind of Adonai after the spirit of the living God had left him. Even though witchcraft is an abomination to the people of Adonai, Saul calls upon the witch of Endor and tries to get her to call up Samuel. God overrules this and sends not an impersonating spirit. I have many people come up to me and say, have you heard the story about this young boy or girl? And they can tell you stories. They can tell you their name, where they've lived, and everything they experienced. They are being possessed by an impersonating spirit. Demons have been living for centuries. They watch, they study us, and that's where all that information comes from. Now going on. She was expecting an impersonating spirit. But the true Samuel who announces Saul's coming death on the fields of battle tomorrow. The truth of Samuel's prophecy came to pass as Saul and his son Yohanan, Jonathan, David's beloved friend, are killed. And David, the ever man of spiritual faith, shared his sorrow and lament. And this is where I'll close today. In 2 Samuel 1, 17 through 27. Now hear these words. Now remember, Saul had been persecuting him for many, many years. But this is what David says of Saul. In order to teach the people of Yehuda, Judah, not to underestimate the archery. The lament has been written down in the book of Yashar. Has anyone read the book of Yashar? I haven't. Those are one of the many books in the Bible they're referred to, but we don't have them to this day. And here is David's lament. Your glory, Israel, lies dead on the high places. How the heroes have fallen. Don't speak of it at Gat. Don't proclaim it in the streets of Ashkelon. Then the daughters of the Philistine won't rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised won't gloat. The mountains of Gilboa, may there be on you no dew, no rain, no fields with good crops. Because the shields of the heroes were dishonored. The shield of Shaul, King Saul, was no longer rubbed with oil. From the blood of the dead, from the flesh of heroes, the bow of Yohanan, Jonathan did not retreat. Or the sword of Shaul, Saul, king, return unsatisfied. Shaul and Yohanan, Saul and Jonathan, loved and gracious while alive. Think of that. The man who persecuted and tried to run him through many times with his own spear. David speaks of the love that he had for him. They were not separated in death. They were swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. Daughters of Israel, weep over Shaul, King Saul. He clothed you with luxury and scarlet and put gold jewelry on your clothing. How the heroes have fallen into the heat of battle. Yohanan, Jonathan killed on your high places. I grieve for you, my brother Yohanan. Think of that relationship for a moment. Here he was anointed David to be king. In the natural, what would Jonathan want to do? He would want to agree with his father in putting David to death because his calling that appeared by the flesh was he was to be Saul's replacement, the heir to the kingdom. But you know what Jonathan had? He had a heart after the living God. And so he wanted the best for Israel. Can you imagine that? Giving up your throne, giving up all your palaces, all your wealth, all your honor by a mere significant peasant, as it were, David. Jonathan loved him and treated him as his own brother and saved his life many, many times. I grieve for you, my brother Yohanan, Jonathan. You meant so much for me. Your love was deeper than the love of a woman. What does that mean? Their hearts were knit together. They had one purpose and plan, and that was this. That the kingdom of Israel, that Abba Father that would be leading, would last forever. That's why Jonathan was willing to step aside and allow David to rule and reign in his place. How the heroes have fallen. The weapons of the war perished. David extols them both as men used of God despite their weaknesses. Jonathan and Saul, David, they all have weaknesses. The death of Saul illustrates what Rav Shaul has written in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 and 15. But to each one's work will be shown for what it is. The day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. You know, everything we've said, done in our whole lives is going to be facing the all-consuming fire of the one holy God. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If the work someone has built on a foundation survives, he will receive a reward. God will judge everything that we've done. If it is burned up, then he will bear the loss. We've had opportunity. God empowered us. He showed us his plan. But we went by our own carnal nature. We went by our own will. And that's why we built it with dross. And it does not stand up to his fire. He will escape. And the Lord showed me this illustration. He put me into a house that I had built with my own hands. And the enemy had set a fire upon it. And the house caught on fire, and I was running to and fro to get all these wonderful mementos, all my awards. But for me to save my life, I had to jump through a window. And everything that I'd built, everything that I proclaimed is, look at me for who I am. Look how great I am serving the mighty, holy God, was all burnt and nothing was left. And the only thing that was spared was my own life. And the scripture goes on to say this, he will still escape with his life, but it will be like escaping through the fire. So I ask you, my brothers and sisters, this. Don't go by your own opinion. Don't go by your own judgment, by your own counsel. Be always seeking after what the Spirit of the living God is saying to us. He and He alone will lead us into all truth. That our lives will be lived out to the glory of our Father through His Son, being empowered and equipped by the Spirit of the living God. Amen? Amen. To His name be all praise and glory and honor.